You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come from you, ghetto people, yeah.
What are you gonna
with your knife.
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself. You got to learn to love yourself. Ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything that on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, Conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening Ashe. To Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotel family, hope you are well today. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, could do, and will do. And hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it wasn't, you did it anyway. That's right. And you did it safely. You wore a mask, kept your distance, you keep your hands clean. You did it anyway. And we appreciate you for it. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And we're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled, and it has been updated. So for those brothers and sisters who are on, even last week, your program is there. You can go check it out. And we appreciate it. I know I'm going to have a couple of guests this week, Wednesday. The Black People Matrix, Brother Franklin Jones will be my guest on Wednesday. And then on Friday, Bashir Muhammad Akinyele, educator, author, brother who's wrote many articles in the Your Black World and the Atlanta Black Star, Atlanta Black Star, and other publications. He'll be my guest on Friday. So I'm looking forward to these discussions, and hope you are too. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, once again, this program is 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and all times are going to give our Eastern Times. Tonight, this evening, from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jihad Ahmed, Acres of Diamonds. Followed by, from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Itaki Kamban. That's followed by, from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Thursdays, from 7 to 9, Melanin Live with Chief Lance Jones and Sister Benisiwa Ayan. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, oh yes, that's right, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays from 8 until Saturday. Saturday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. 7 to 9 p.m., from 7 to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council. On Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening at Sundays, 7 p.m. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We buy black. That's right, we buy black. The largest online marketplace for American and African-owned businesses is webuyblack.com. Get everything you need from American and African-owned businesses from webuyblack.com. Go on WeBuyBlack.com, not just purchase those products that are produced by us, but we're also seeking donations to create or to establish a supermarket here in the Atlanta area that is owned and operated by us. It's a damn shame we don't have a supermarket. All of us here. I mean, man, that's crazy, isn't it? Yes, it is. Ah, yeah. Supermarket. Yeah.
Africa for the Africans.
AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org and plan your trip of a lifetime with Brother Bamani Tayemba. Or give him a call at 404-931-9429. That's 404-931-9429. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bamani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bamani2007. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. I'm not sure what Baba Rinoco has going on, but I will contact him for the week is out to find out what he has up his sleeve, what he's up to, my good friend, Dr. Rinoco Rashidi. Habashah, HabashahIncorporated.org. Go to HabashahIncorporated.org and make a contribution to the fine, great work these brothers and sisters are doing. Locally, you know, they got the Kashi Project going on. Locally. Well, let me tell you what HabashahIncorporated.org is. Habashah Incorporated is a Pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, and holistic health and technology. The many programs that they have. That's right. And the Kashi Project. That's the project going on in Ghana. And the walls are up. The local projects they have here. Habashah Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, and Urban Green Jobs, and the Golden Growers. So you want to check out HabashahIncorporated.org. The LEDGE Group. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. That's right, Group Economics. And they work in the four areas that are vital to human growth and development: food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects going on right now in 6 different countries on the continent, over 170 employed, and over 260 members. And you can become a member too. Go to ledgegroup.com. Check it out for yourself, brothers and sisters. The LEDGE Group. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End in Atlanta, located on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard, across the street from Soul Veg, down the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, all up in that area, the Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. The Meddu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Meddu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia has a new location in the Greenbrier Mall, the main thoroughfare, the main walkway, a corridor. And the number to call is 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, T-shirts, figurines, you name it. She has it. Please give her a call at 404-346-3263. The Meddu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. I got to go see my brother today. I'm going to go to the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore today after the broadcast is over. Just check out my good brother, Kazimde Ajamu, at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. The number to call is 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. Both of these places, as well as the Shrine of the Black Madonna, they have books. And, of course, if they don't have the book that you have, that you're requesting, they will get it for you. Believe me, they will. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Us Lifting Us, their Thursday night broadcast, every Thursday night on Blog Talk Radio. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU, Us Lifting Us. Name of the program is Dare to Win. It is every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, from 9 to 10 Eastern. You can call to listen or to give questions, comments, or concerns at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Every Thursday night, Us Lifting Us. Um, Yes, Us Lifting Us conference is coming up this weekend. I will have somebody on the program to talk about that for a minute. We got to do that. That's coming up this weekend. I need to talk to Brother Angti to make sure I can do some obligations that I said I would do for Us Lifting Us. Sun Goddess Sense. Sun Goddess Sense. Your one-stop natural shop located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. That's Sun Goddess Sense, located in the International Discount Mall. If you give my sister Shelly a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7966. 7963. Sun Goddess Sense. Sanjay-Haiti. My sister Gabrielle Aurelia is doing an outstanding job of working with our young people and people in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. Give Sister Sanjay, give Sister Gabby an email. Go onto the website. Make a connection. Support Sanjay-Haiti. Sonjay-Haiti. AYITI.org. Sanjay-Haiti. Akabin Institute, Baba Baruti and Mama Yah. Baba Baruti's birthday was this past weekend. I want to wish Baba Baruti a happy birthday. This man is just tremendous. He's an outstanding author. And you can get his books at Akabin House. And you can also get his books from the Medu Bookstore, as well as the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. He has them on sale at those two places as well. But you can go to AkabinHouse.com. AkabinHouse.com and get his books. But you also can support Akabin Institute. You can make a check or money order out to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. Or you can use Cash App or PayPal. Cash App, use the dollar sign, Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, and make a consistent contribution to Akabin Institute and help support our young people. That's right. Okay. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sesim. March 7th. We are linked by our resilience, that inbred evolutionary ability to live and grow and love against all odds. Empoyo Mire. Dear Yorugu, no matter what you do or how you do it, what you think or how you think it, where you are or how you got there, you can never be us. No matter our historical significance of what you steal, how convincingly you lie that you were us, how thoroughly you kill our memory, you can never be us. No matter how well you master the art of imitating humanness, how intrinsically you fabricate civility and civilization, how expert you become in decoding and deconceptualizing our signs and symbols, you can never reach the point of where you're able to think as deeply as us. No matter how thickly you pad or whorishly spread your lips, hips, breasts, or seductively press them together, how darkly you tan or spray on blackness so that you can fantasize beyond the pale, how far you twist your strands to intermat, you can never be as beautiful as us. No matter how much you hold each other's cold hands or whisper sweet but truly meaningless nothings into each other's ear, or turn countless shades of gray into black and blue proofs of life, no matter how emotionally you seduce opposites, you can never feel love like us. No matter what you pay for the secrets of dancing and drumming or try to rap, you will never have our rhythm or our soul. No matter how many bodies you murder or sterilize before the possibilities of conceiving or placenta you experiment on, you will never birth us. No matter what you do, you can never replace us. You can never eclipse us. You can never become us. You will never be African because you can never be more than what you have always been. Affirm, I am resilient, and my resilience is timeless. Affirm, I am resilient, and my resilience is timeless. March 8th. As we grow in consciousness and seriousness about the education of our children, only one solution remains clear. We must build our own schools equipped with loving and demanding educators and engaging yet rigorous African-centered curriculum. With loving and demanding educators and engaging yet rigorous African-centered curriculum. Ashe, Samora Kamara. We have allowed Urugu to redefine genius for us, individualizing it along quantitative lines. And in the process, Sorry about that, y'all. And in the process, has premised aspirations, they have erroneously taken it to the next level and made it something that only, or at least disproportionately, they possess. We have allowed ourselves to forget that each and every one of us is genius. And even when we say this, and when we say that is so, it is not from the heart or soul. We have forgotten that we are born this way. But most importantly, we have forgotten that genius is a qualitative measure, not a quantitative one. We have forgotten the very definition of wisdom, which parallels genius in its intellectual importance, which defines it. If not applied to a beneficial qualitative fashion benefiting the community, then it becomes a functionally dysfunctional. Affirm, I'm building a school for my community where centered educators can teach genius our truth. Affirm, I'm building a school for my community where centered educators can teach genius our truth. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sesem. This is from February 2nd, 1835. Macaulay's address to the British Parliament in 1835. I have traveled across the length and breadth of Africa and have not seen one person who is a beggar, who is a thief. Such wealth I have seen in this country, such high moral values, people of such caliber that I do not think that we would ever conquer this country unless we break the very backbone of this nation, which is their spiritual and cultural heritage. And therefore, I propose that we replace her old and ancient education system, replace her culture. For if the Africans think that all that is foreign and English is good and greater than their own, they will lose their self-esteem, their native culture, and they will become what we want them. A truly dominated nation. A truly dominated nation. Yeah. That's what we have become, brothers and sisters, and that's sad, isn't it? That's what it is. This is what Kwame Nkrumah said. You know, in 1957, he was the first country on the continent to break from Europeans. In 1957, a few years later, he gave this speech, the Speech of Freedom, 1961. I believe strongly and sincerely that with the deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African culture united under one federal government will emerge not just as another world block to flaunt its wealth and strength, but has a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear and envy and superstition, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on hope, trust, friendship, and directed to the good of all mankind. Kwame Nkrumah. Yeah. Then he said this a few years later. If we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling among ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we had suffered heretofore. Kwame Nkrumah. Isn't that prophetic? Ain't that deep? Isn't that what happened? To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of European thought and behavior in order to understand the effects of Europeans that the Europeans have had on our ability to think victoriously. We must be able to separate our thoughts from Europeans' thoughts so as to visualize a future that is not dominated by Europe. This is a demand by an African-centered view because why? We are Africans, brothers and sisters. We're Africans, but more importantly and deeply, because the future towards which Europe leads us is genocide. It's genocide. To be African or not? To be African or not? That is the question, which is the bottom line. You know, I participated or listened to the program on Bibi Atunmi. Once again, I'm promoting Bibi Atunmi. Please, brothers and sisters, go to bibiatunmi.com. A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I.com. Bibiatunmi.com. Great discussion, re-Africanization and de-whitenization. Great discussion. They have another one coming up this Saturday. Oh, by the way, Cambon, he lives in Africa, he lives in Ghana. And this program is this Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Eastern time. So this Saturday, if you ain't got nothing to do Saturday morning, get up. You know, first register for the program, then get up and participate and listen to some good discussion. This Saturday is Politicians, Prostitutions, and the Ghana United Snakes Military Agreement. In this detailed discussion, Brother Baudelaire Cambon shows that from George Washington to Henry Kissinger, United Snakes policy is one of cold-blooded snake-like unitarianism. So it's going to be a good discussion, and this past discussion was great because basically this past discussion dealt with that even though we promote consciousness, it doesn't change behavior. And brothers and sisters, we have to change behavior. If we say that we are African, not just that we say it and we're a gay lay, wear some dashikis and, you know, throw up a fist in the air and wave it like we just don't care, but more importantly, that we exemplify that our behavior is that. We model that. We prepare to change the dynamics. Because we can say that we're African and yet nothing really changes. Everything is happening. We still want some money. In fact, in the discussion, they mentioned Brother Manu Apem, Professor Manu Apem. I remember reading a piece. In fact, I met him many years ago back in the 90s. And he's another primary researcher. Beautiful brother. And he was talking about the Lyceum Movement, where people, you know, give lectures. You know, and I know there's many African-centered lecturers, but yet our condition hasn't changed. You know, people make money, you know, and some of them get real deep about it. You know, you don't be making no tapes of my stuff, you know, unless I get paid. I'm going to get paid. You know, my contention is I want the information out there. If it's that deep and it's that mind changing and environmental changing and reality changing, the information needs to be out there. It should not just be for sale. It should be promoted. It should be constantly talked about. It should be constantly put out there in terms of what we as African people need to do to re-Africanize ourselves and de-whitenize ourselves. That's what's important. So this Saturday, the United Snakes, politicians, prostitutions, and the Ghana United Snakes military agreement. You know, they have a big base in Ghana. They have a big base in Ghana. And, but they have military bases all throughout Africa. You know, we really need to have a serious discussion of what we're going to do about this situation on the continent. The most important piece of land on this planet for African people is Africa. Damn it. And what are we going to do? Well, you know, the program today is on Ma'at. Return to Ma'at. That's what we need to do, brothers and sisters. Return to Ma'at. You know. Return to the principles of Ma'at, of truth, justice, righteousness, harmony, order, balance. Turn to Ma'at. These are active. This is something not just to be said. This is something to be done. We must put order in our lives. We must be balanced. Everything was in Kemetic society. There's duality. If you had good, you're going to have evil. If you have men, you're going to have women. You know? Everything was a balance. Everything was a balance. So we're going to talk about Ma'at. And here's why. Because this society doesn't deserve to be the leader in the world. That's why the world is so messed up. Because the United Snakes says that it is the leader in the world. And you hear it, and of course we believe it. You see it on TV. The educational process, the governmental process, the monetary process, all of these things, they say are the leaders. They say that these things are universal. Yeah. Turn to Ma'at.
America or India in other places, they can have people locked up for 20 years, 30 years, or for life, and have them to work for 53 cents an hour. So it makes sense to build prisons, and it makes sense to give people life in prison. These statistics are shocking. They are depressing. And they are evident themselves that such societies do not qualify to be the models or the champions for the source of bringing peace to the world. With these kinds of social problems inside of their own boundaries, inside of their own governments, in their own institutions, how can they bring peace to the world? It doesn't make sense. Between the USA and the UK, the two most sophisticated, advanced civilizations, there are 27 million persons addicted to drugs. There are 89 million people addicted to alcohol. There are 106 million persons addicted to cigarette smoking.
21 million of those die every year from diseases related to their addiction to cigarette smoking. 24 million women prostitute themselves legally with licenses. 8 murders or homicides are committed every 19 minutes. And 2 rapes are committed every 7 minutes. And there are 3 robberies every 59 seconds. There are 257,000 children that are legally or illegally aborted. That is, 257,000 children are killed in the womb by license. 21 million children are born every year out of wedlock who do not know their mothers and fathers or who do not know whom they are fathered by. 2.8 million suicides every year of human beings who find no reason to live. 275,000 persons are locked up in their prison industrial complexes. And today, the prisons are built as industries. They're no longer built simply to house and to reform criminals. They are built as industries, and major conglomerates compete with one another for the contracts to build and to administrate these prison complexes because they have found that the labor from prisoners are just like the labor in South America or India in other places. They can have people locked up for 20 years, 30 years, or for life, and have them to work for 53 cents an hour. So it makes sense to build prisons, and it makes sense to give people life in prison. These statistics are shocking. They are depressing, and they are evident themselves that such societies do not qualify to be the models or the champions for the source of bringing peace to the world. With these kinds of social problems inside of their own boundaries, inside of their own governments, in their own institutions, how can they bring peace to the world? It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense because they can't. That's why we as Africans must return to Ma'at. We must return to our sanity because this is insane. If you have been in African conscious community for any length of time, you have heard that term, Ma'at. This is from the African Alliance. The African Alliance, the Pan-African Alliance. Ma'at existed before Ra, the supreme god of the Kemetic culture, and is the goddess of truth, justice, divine order, and cosmic balance. Her polar opposite, Set, although some say it Ishvet. So, I mean, you know, there's, and it's, I'm quite sure it all has evolved over time. So we'll talk about Ishvet as well, because we know about Set. Set, some say Set is, of course, the opposite of Aser in the Battle of Aser. Aser, Aset, and Heru, and Set. And of course, Aser, who is a god man, and his complement, Aset, and the battle between good and evil. In fact, if you have watched the Lion King, the Lion King is the story of Aser, Aset, and Heru, and Set. Mufasa is Aser. His wife is Aset. The baby lion, after he is killed, because the same thing happens in the story. Set is jealous by the fact that Aser is admired, respected by the people. So he devises a plan to kill him. Cuts him up in 14 pieces and scatters his body across the Nile. His wife, Aset, and Hathor, Heteru, gather up the pieces of her dead husband, finds every piece but one. His penis. That's what the tekens represent. The Greeks call it an obelisk, but it's called a teken. Try to use comedic words whenever possible. Not Greek or European words. Try to use, if you know it. I wish I knew it. Every piece but one. And that's what the Washington Monument is. It's a phallus symbol. That's what you see in this country, those who have embraced Freemasonry. You can go to, particularly out east, but some in the Midwest, maybe even in the South, you'll see cemeteries with pyramids and tekens and so forth. Because why? They co-opted the language. They co-opted the knowledge that we once possessed in their secret societies of Freemasonry. And that's why the Washington Monument is in D.C. And the tekens are not in sexual worship because the ancient Kemetic people were not hung up on sex. They were hung up on life. And what they wanted to do was build for eternity, build for life. So the symbol is man's ability to regenerate, to reproduce life. Aser, Aset, and Heru. And so Heru was born because after he was killed and cut up in 14 pieces and his body scattered across the Nile, she gathered up the pieces of her dead husband to resurrect him. Death and resurrection. Yeah. Finding every piece but one, the phallus symbol. And so the Netcher, Jehudi, which the Greeks called Toth, came to her and told her, you are going to have a son. There's a birthing scene on the walls of the Medu Netcher. There's Medu Netcher, or what the Greeks call hieroglyphs of the birthing scene, where Maat holds an ankh to her nose while the Netcher, Jehudi, is announcing that she's going to have a child. And, of course, the ankh is the key of life and breathing. She's breathing life into her. And then she has the child. She sits on the birthing stool. That's right. Letting gravity use its force as opposed to Western society. Laying on your back trying to kick it out. She sits on the birthing stool and the child is born. And the child is adorned in all the adoration for the child. Just as it is in the Christian scene, and the child grows, and Heru avenges his father's death by battling his evil uncle Set. The theory is, of course, that Heru wins in the morning and Set wins at night. The importance of Maat, and believe me, cannot be over exemplified, because it is vitally, Maat is vitally important, because that's what ruled the society. That's why ancient Kemetic society lasted for thousands, I mean thousands of years. Thousands of years. But this society, at its core, this society, at its core, is corrupt and evil. The taking of land, the taking of a people to work land, denigrating these people, putting them at the low rung of society consistently. So I'm saying this is what we must do. Maat existed before Ra. and is the goddess of truth, justice, divine order, and cosmic balance. Her polar opposite could be Seth or Ishvet is darkness and chaos. Mada is often shown with wings and carries an Ankh, which is the key of life. And of course, the Ankh is thousands of years older as a symbol than the Christian cross. The Ankh is the key of life. The Christian cross represents death. I don't know, to Christians, it represents eternal life. Yeah, okay. So important were the principles of order and cosmic balance to the rulers of Kemet that they would often carry an image of Maat seated as a sign that the pharaoh or the king represented her reign. Judges in Kemet also wore an emblem of Maat on their chests, and all of those who would become a part of society in Kemet were urged to speak and seek Maat. Invoking the goddess Maat is appropriate for righting wrongs and to help truth and understanding emerge from any situation. Invoking Maat also brings one back to the beginning of earth, the primordial beginning of earth, finding common ground, balance, and to embody righteousness. When a person died, their soul was led by Jehudi, the god of articulation and speech and wisdom, into the hall of justice, to the presence of Aser, the lord of a perfect black, along with the 42 declarations of innocence of Maat. The heart, which is a person's essence, would be weighed in the scales of justice against the feather from the headdress of Maat. If the person had led a good life, the heart would be balanced against the feather. If the person had committed one or more crimes against the divine rulers, then it would be weighed heavier and then would be eaten by the beast of unjust souls and have eternal death. You see that in the judgment scene. You see you had died and they're carrying you Anpu. The Greeks call him Anubis. Anpu, carrying you. And there they have the scales. They have the heart. And then the feather of Maat. And the Netcher Jehudi, which is the ibis bird, is recording using the 42 declarations of innocence. I have not. And of course, if all those have nots checked off, you remain balanced. And then Heru presents you to Aser, to stand in judgment of Aser, and that you will live in eternal life. Those that balance would be led by Maat to Aser and be permitted to join the celestial goddesses and gods for all eternity. The declarations of innocence that the deceased were judged against were written in the book of coming forth by day, or what the Caucasians call the book of the dead, because they found it in the tomb. They called it the book of the dead. No, it's the book of coming forth by day. And these are the things that were told to you, and you would repeat, I have not committed a sin. I have not committed robbery with violence. I have not stolen. I have not slain men and women. I have not stolen grain. I have not prolonged offerings. I have not stolen the property of God. I have not uttered lies. I have not carried away food. I have not uttered curses. I have not committed adultery. I have not lain with men or women. I have made none to weep. I have not eaten the heart. I have not attacked any man. I am not a man of deceit. I have not stolen cultivated land. I have not been an eavesdropper. I have not slandered. I have not been angry without any cause. I have not butchered the wife of another man. I have not debauched the wife of a man. I have not polluted myself. I have not terrorized none. I have not transgressed. I have not been a person of wrath. I have not shut my ears to the words of truth. I have not blasphemed. I have not. I am not a man of violence. I have not been a stirrer up of strife. I have not acted with undue haste. I have not pried into matters. I have not multiplied my words in speaking. I have wronged none. I have done no evil. I have not worked witchcraft against the king. I have never stopped water. I have never raised my voice. I have not cursed God. I have not acted with arrogance. I have not stolen the bread of the gods. I have not carried away the chief cakes from the spirits of the dead. I have not snatched away the bread of a child, nor treated with contempt the God of my city. I have not slain the cattle belonging to God. Those are the 42 declarations of innocence of Ma'at, which are thousands of years old. As they said from the very beginning, Ma'at ruled the society. I understand that, a punishment in ancient Kemet could be severe. You could be entombed. You could be abandoned to the desert. And of course, if you were abandoned to the desert, that's a death sentence. They ride you out to the desert and just leave you there. And you have no understanding or no way to go, especially if they blindfolded you, knocked you out. You woke up. Now, even the horse tracks and the wheels, those markings are gone. You have no which way to go. You use the sun, of course. And, the sun rises. Or as the earth turns, it reveals itself in the east. And but are you south? You don't know. Are you north? Well, you know east and west, because if it's early in the morning, after dark, you face east. If later in the day, the sun's going down, it's dark, that was west. But other than that, you have no idea. So you wanted to stay within the society. So within the society, there were rules. And what governed it was Ma'at. And those 42 declarations of innocence that I just mentioned. Ma'at. Compare these laws to the Ten Commandments of the Old Testament and Christianity, while keeping in mind that these laws preceded the Bible as we know it by thousands of years. The Ten Commandments of the Torah, the Old Testament, is as follows. I am the Lord thy God, which has brought thee out of the land of Egypt. I'll use that word because I wouldn't say Kemet because it's not true. Out of the house of bondage, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord God in vain. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or likenesses of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witnesses against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox or his ass. That's right, it said that's what it is, or his ass. or anything else that's thy neighbor's. The Ten Commandments of Christianity were said to have been delivered by Moses, the lawgiver. But according to the Bible, Moses was where? Educated where? That's right, he was educated in Kemet. Moses was educated in Kemet. As a matter of the royal house, Moses was taught the mystery system. There was a mystery to them. It's not a mystery system. Or what have become known as the Kemetic science. And his education most certainly included the declarations of Ma'at. Moses. I know when that time comes in the next month, when Easter and the Passover, we'll talk about that. Of course, and talk about where the Jews, the Hebrews, not Jews, the Hebrews, were they in bondage in Kemet? And of course, they were not. And there was a symposium about 20 years ago. 20 years ago. It's just like almost 50 years ago. Almost 50 years ago. In fact, 1974, Dr. Sheikh Anta Jop and Dr. Thelophilio Binga argued at a symposium about the ancient Kemetic people and won the debate. But yet, still to this very day, when you look at the A&E, National Geographic, Learning Channel, Discovery Channel, you name it, if they show ancient Kemetic or what they call Egypt, and if they do a dramatization illustration, they're going to look Caucasian. But if they show somebody serving somebody, yeah, exactly. They consistently want to put into our minds that we ain't never been nothing but a servant to Europeans. In fact, the latest movie, not just the Ten Commandments of Yul Brynner and Charlton Heston, but the latest one with Christian Bale as Moses about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, still looking Caucasian. But we have to understand that's what they do. But for us, we need to return to Ma'at. Return to those things and instill in our everyday lives. We have everything we need to make the change. We have the Ma'atian principles of truth, justice, righteousness, harmony, balance, order, reciprocity. What goes around comes around. You reap what you sow. Reciprocity. Believe in it. But also, too, Kwanzaa. See, these principles, just like the Kwanzaa principles, should be instilled in our everyday lives. Of unity, self-determination, collective work and responsibility, cooperative economics, purpose, creativity, and faith. But we, by putting these Ma'atian principles in our lives, that we have truth, that we're not liars, we're not backstabbers, we're brothers and sisters who speak truth, do truth, because we believe in Ma'at. We understand what Ma'at stands for. We believe and seek justice. We're righteous people. There's harmony amongst us, within our families, within our community, within our society. There's harmony. They could not have done what they did that lasted for thousands of years and still lasts to this day, at least the images and the symbolism. No, Arabs have been there since the 600s. When Islam came on the scene, in the 7th century, swept throughout all of, leaving out of the Arabian Peninsula, swept all across northern Africa into Western Europe, the Moors. In fact, the only light that was happening in Europe was the Moors. The European was in a serious medieval or dark age of serfdom. So we must return to Ma'at. We must instill in us these principles and let them shine in us. Balance. Balance. Your heart being weighed by the feather of Ma'at. And if you don't maintain balance, you get eaten by the beast of unjust souls. What does it take to maintain balance? A righteous life. Honesty, integrity, truthfulness. Have order in your life. Have balance in your life. And every day, try your best to do what's right. Do what is just, to do good, to help. I'm going to take a break. When I come back from this break, you can join this conversation. For those on the platform, you hit star twice, and you can get in on the conversation. Or dial 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. 9832. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspective here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Thank you.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. That was some contemporary jazz. I got a whole bunch of cuts that my good friend, Brother Kwaku, had laid on me some time ago, and I'm going to start bringing a few of them out. Although they're contemporary jazz, you know, I'm going to go back into the YouTube and see if I can find some Monk and some Coltrane and some Miles, and you know, because as I'm thinking about it, I'm reminding myself of my first wife, my first ex-wife, that way. But her brother was a musician. He was a saxophone player who loved Cannonball Adderley. That was his main guy. But he introduced me to so many jazz artists that back in Milwaukee, there was a nightclub called Teddy's, and it was featuring jazz artists. So I had an opportunity because of him and because he enlightened me to hear, I mean, an array of outstanding jazz artists before they transitioned. Rashawn Roland Kurt, Freddie Hubbard, Stanley Turrentine, Charlie Mingus. I mean, I can go on. Eddie Harris. Man, so many. Esther Phillips. I mean, so for some who are listening and who are about my age or older, you know where I'm coming from. But those who are not, maybe not. But to me, that was jazz. The progressiveness of it and so forth, that was jazz. I liked these smooth sounds, these contemporary sounds, and I'm going to be playing them, and I thank my good friend, Brother Kwaku. The lineup we have on Time for an Awakening, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, this program, African Perspectives, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, all time's going to give Eastern Times. On Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamond, Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jihad Ahmed. Followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Moya Kamban and the Taki Kamban. That is followed by from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays. On Thursdays from 7 to 9, Melanin Live with Chief Lance Jones and Benisiwa, Sister Benisiwa Ayan. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with Host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9 on Saturday, the Sankofa Elders Council. On Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We're talking today about the return to Ma'at. I know that it can be done individually. There's a few individuals who believe that they're living within the prescribed concepts of Ma'at. They exemplify truth, justice, righteousness, harmony, balance, order, reciprocity. They exemplify that. And that's good. Because to some degree, I know I try to live in accordance with Ma'at. I'm not Kemetic. I know they have the Kemetic Institute in Chicago and a few others around the country. Kemetic theology. I'm just a man who believes in being right, particularly amongst our people. Particularly amongst African people. And doing the best that I can as a human being to exemplify that. But we need more than just individuals. We need returning to Ma'at to be the collective mindset and practice for African people. It's just like this past weekend on Bibi Atumi, as I mentioned earlier, BibiAtumi.com. Good program on Re-Africanization and de-Caucasianization. Because we need re-Africanization. We need to think African, do African, be African, as Mama Nubuntu would tell us. We need that. It is a must, it's an imperative. We need that. And it's more than just elevating and raising our consciousness. It's in practice. Not just in theory, it's in practice. It's how we go about our daily lives. It's in practice. Anybody else want to get in this conversation, hit star twice and join the conversation or dial 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. It's in practice. We know that there, I just mentioned, I just played to you how evil this European world is, the myriad of problems that it has, and all of the things is, you can be as devious and demented and evil-minded, and still you'll be favored. And I know there are some people believe that, you know, that these people will get it in the end, maybe so, but right here on earth, as evil as they are, they continue to live a life of luxury, to live a life off other people, to live a life where they're killing people on a daily basis. You know, like Purdue Pharmacy, OxyContin, you know, they paid a big fine, right? I think billions of dollars, but they still continue to make money. This is an oligarchy. This is not a republic. This is not democracy. It ain't none of that bull. This is an oligarchy. The people with big money, the 1% control this. The 1% control this. And they don't give a damn. It's a fallacy. It's bull. It's a charade. They do what they do to maintain their positions of dominance and control. And whatever they have to do, they'll do it. If they have to kill some crackers, crackers will be killed. But their ultimate destruction is us. Eliminating us on the planet. Eliminating us on the continent so they can take the resources that are so plentiful on the African continent. That's why I'm saying we must return to Ma'at. We must have the courage and develop the mind that we will live Ma'at, do Ma'at, be Ma'at, speak Ma'at. Brothers and sisters, our life on this planet is tenuous. It is not guaranteed. And what you see happening, and what's interesting, you can see things happening right now in real time because of the technology. And you could see it does not look good for us. It does not look good for African people. Because we got Chinese, Koreans, Indians, Arabs, Europeans, you name it, we got it on the continent, destroying African people and ripping off Africans' resources and claiming Africa's land. When they talked about putting 300 million Chinese. And because of the work that the Chinese are doing in Africa, that's really possible, isn't it? The things that they're building, unlike Europeans with military bases the United States, United Snakes, military bases, and not having really helped the continent. Unlike them, you know, the Chinese at least doing some projects. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, that road from when you go up into Ghana, you go up into Tamale, up in the northern region, getting towards Burkina Faso, and the road from Tamale to Moli Park, which is a game preserve. Whew, man. So the Chinese built a road. But if you ever heard me say it, talk about this on my recent visit back in 2019, they also built a resort in conjunction with the road that they put down leading to Moli Park. And you could see that higher up in a mountain. It's deep. 646-646, good afternoon.
Odios, what's going on, brother?
Hey, Jay, how you doing this week? How you doing this today, brother? How was your weekend, man?
Hey, man, my weekend was good. How was yours, brother?
Good, man. You know, my young grandson is here in Atlanta, man, and he is into basketball. And so I'm taking him around to these games and so forth. He had a tournament this weekend. They had 6 games.
Okay.
Yeah, but they won. They won the tournament, and he played well.
Is he any good?
Yeah, he's going to be decent, man. He's going to be decent. In fact, the whole idea, as far as I'm concerned, is that he does well in school, he does well on the court, and he can get a scholarship.
That's all it's about, man, yeah. Because, you know, you got to let them know young. You definitely got to let them know young that it's a one in a million shot to make the NBA, man.
Yeah,
but
that's
the thing
exactly.
Is, if you good, you could see the world.
Yeah.
And make a whole lot of money and set yourself up. I remember 20 some years ago, they had a guard by the name of Omar Cook here in New York in St. George. Matter of fact, he led the NCAA in assists as a freshman, and he went pro. And, you know, he didn't make it. He should have just stayed one more year because his problem was his jump shot. But let me tell you something, brother. He's been overseas for the last 22 years, still playing basketball.
Yeah.
And
making money.
Still doing good.
Yeah.
I mean, I was reading an article last week where they said his assist to turnover ratio was 6-1.
That's beautiful.
So, you know, he may be, if his body can withstand it, play another 3 years. Now, mind you, he done became a citizen of Montserrat. You know, he's making great money. And he comes back to the United States when the season is over for a couple of months. And he done made a great life for himself.
You
know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's what life is about.
Yeah,
he probably doesn't have to deal with the madness that most of us have to deal with in America with this cracker. You know what I mean? Now, I know he probably faces racism and all of that.
Sure.
But at least he's doing what he wants to do in life. Was able to use his God-given talent and to make a beautiful life for himself.
Yeah.
Because you and I both know his life is far better than what the life of the average Negro is. Because like I said, and I done came to the conclusion at this point in time, these Negroes here in America are nothing more than condoms. That's it. It's just that simple. They just a condom for the white men. That's all, bro. I'm sorry to say it, but I must say it because all they do is put you on And when they get finished doing their business, they throw you aside. They throw you away. You know what I mean? I mean, it's real. It's real. You know, we listen to it and we say, oh, man, what is the brother saying? But think about the relationship between the condom and the man's penis. And that is what the relationship is with black people and white people, if we really want to be honest about it. Because, you know, all they do, Oshie, is use us for their protection. You know, all they do is take advantage of us for their protection.
Boy, Jay, that's a hell of an analogy,
all I
want
to do is do this, Oshie. I just want one thing to happen to let the white man show me that at this time I'm not his condom. You know what that would be? And I'm not even really into politics on that level, and I understand the symbolicness and all of that. Pass the John Lewis bill. If they pass the John Lewis bill, then I could say you crackers are playing somewhat fair, that say to me that you are the Democratic Party and you're willing to protect my black rights.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you something. You know, it's not getting no better and it's getting worse. But I tell you this, if they pass that bill, maybe we may have a fighting chance for a little longer of survival. But if they don't, it's a wrap.
Well, it's, you know, rap, what? Bro, I'm going to tell you, though. I'm going to tell you, Jay. If it's a wrap, let it be. Because my contention is, the sooner we get off this plantation, the sooner we deal with one another with, like I'm saying, this program today is talking about return to Ma'at. And by returning to Ma'at, in a belief in ourselves and a belief in each other, the fact that we don't give a damn about voting. Because we know within their system, it don't mean shit. Excuse me, it don't mean sugar, honey, iced tea.
Don't mean shit.
Okay, Jay. You know, because they're going to do what they're going to do. And in fact, we've been pushing this voting thing. And I know I saw Stacey Abrams on the news this morning. She got a documentary out. And the irony of that is that in contained to what you just mentioned about the John Lewis bill, all of these, I'm going to damn near every state Republican Party has a bill or multiple bills to deal with this last election about how it was ran, talking about some voter integrity. When the bottom line is, hey, hold on, Jay. It's just like when I saw that cracker Rance Priebus, when I went to the 50th anniversary of Selma. Good brother came from Milwaukee, brother Johnny Miller, who does a lot of video documenting. We went down to Selma, and at the foot of the bridge where the brothers and sisters got that beat down, there's a couple of markers, two or three markers there to tell you in this area, what happened and so forth. Here come Rance Priebus with three other young people, a Caucasian, a sister, a young sister, and a young brother. And I was on a radio program with him. I know he don't remember me, and I don't give a damn, you know. This one brother's program many years ago. So anyway, he comes marching down the hill from the bridge, and I mentioned it, and I say his name. He gets startled, and I told him I'm from Wisconsin, you know. And I said, you know what, man? This is very disingenuous of you and your party. And the one brother, I looked at him, he kind of looked down, you know, because all you folks ever done was try to find ways, you know, to dismantle the vote of our people. It's very disingenuous for you to be. In fact, not only that, at that time, the Supreme Court had dismantled two bills in voting rights. So I'm saying, you know, I understand we're saying that voting can, in particularly on a local level, can do some things, can change the city legislature or the county legislature or a village, whatever. But even at that, fundamental change through voting is never going to happen in this society. It ain't about voting. It's about changing the minds of our people and our behavior and how we relate to one another and how we relate to this racist ass society that we live in.
Yeah, but Oshie, the thing is this, all of that is correct. But when someone tells you that they're here for you and they don't do the necessary things to show you that they're here for you, your job is then to leave them the F alone. That should be the reaction of black people if the John Lewis bill isn't passed. Because listen, I don't care about the bill or all of that. It is the perception
I agree, Jay.
I care about that they put forward, that they care about the well-being of my people, and that they're not using us as a condom.
Yeah.
That's all. I mean, the reality is just pass the effing bill so that people who believe in the system could have the freedom, which the Negro has never had and never will have, to go along with their process of being condomized and vote. You know what I mean? I mean, just make it so that, you know, what they doing in your state, they can't do it in other states. And then what is your excuse? See, because there's no real excuse to not pass the bill so that these devils can't be able to do what they doing. And then what makes it even more egregious is they told the Supreme Court that they got to do it to be able to survive. So then that's the white man telling the other white man, and whatever you want to call Clarence Thomas, I don't know what you want to call him. I mean, God forbid that poor soul. That this is what we have to do, and if they go along with it, then they say, well, you gotta do what you gotta do. What you gonna do, Rich? As Jim Brown said,
Jim Brown
Rich and Pryor.
Yeah. But the bottom line is, I understand what you're saying, Jay, and brothers and sisters, jump on this call. And of course, we're supposed to be talking about, you know, returning to Ma'at, but there's something in that concept.
We have to understand that if we return to Ma'at, we're just respecting the wishes that the ancestors really want us to do.
Yes.
The ancestors want us to come together and to claim our rightful place. It's just unfortunate that for some reason we don't want to reclaim our sacred place on the planet. We want to be condomized by these oppressors. Because, listen, Oshie, come on now. We at the stage now to where it should really be no discussion of returning to Ma'at. We supposed to already have that within us.
But see, hold on, Jay. You
should be designing that.
But see, the problem, of course, is that you are bombarded 24/7, 365.
Right.
Globally. Not just here in America. Here in America,
it is even,
but globally. And so as a consequence, you're not thinking about Ma'at. You're not thinking about justice and righteousness and harmony, order and balance. You're thinking about, how can I get over? How can I get mine? How can I get paid? How can I get into her drawers and because she's fine as hell? How can I do this? How can I manipulate this or undermine that? That's what you're thinking, because we live in an evil world. If you didn't listen to the program earlier, Jay, I played a piece that talked about what happens in America and what happens in Europe, particularly in the UK, how bad it is. And yet these people purport themselves to be the leaders in the world and the examples in the world, when they're so damn corrupt and evil and death. I mean, everything is death. Everything they touch is death. So I'm saying,
well, they're death merchants.
Yeah.
You know that, and I know that. They death merchants. Everything that the European is about is about death. It's not about life-giving. It's not about growth. It's not about anything. But You know what the funny thing is? That what you just said a few minutes ago about Just Got Paid and all of that, you know, there's always a song related to that. Think about what you just said. There's always some sort of song related to everything that you just said. Johnny Kim
Just Got Paid. I play that.
You see what I'm saying?
There's yeah, I play that periodically.
A subliminal especially message on, within
yes,
those things.
Yeah, I play that song on Fridays because it's Friday night.
Right.
Just Got Paid.
Right. And you know something? It's funny because I met the guy a couple of times because I used to live down the block from him. So I would see him all the time. And it was funny that I don't think he wrote the song. So I know he used to go over to Europe before he died, like during the summer and make his money. Because he would be able to do shows just based off of that. So right. real nice guy.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't.
Right on.
He was a little shy in a sense because at one time, you know, he couldn't walk the street. So whenever you would see him, he had a little bit of a fast walk, and he did. You know, he evolved kind of differently because I lived down the block from him for like 10 to 15 years. So I saw how. You know, when he first got the hit, how he was, and then years later, before he died, how he was. But the point of the matter, what I'm trying to say is, we as a people, like you just said, are manipulated on so many levels that it's amazing, like I said, Oshi, that we have any type of common sense on how we're going to survive on this planet just based alone on the manipulation. I mean, think about the manipulation of us as a people by these devils. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, see, that's why, Jay, I don't blame us. I don't blame us. As dysfunctional as we are, as self-hating as we are, the lack of denial of self and the willingness to do kill one another at the drop of a hat or even for a hat, I don't blame us. I put the blame where it squarely belongs, on Europeans, on Caucasians who established a system. Like I often say, I don't hate anybody. I'm a very loving person. I believe that I am. I know that I am. You know, that's my nature.
No,
you know,
I hate the crackling. No, yeah, I'm not going to go along with that BS.
Well, I mean, let me finish, Jay, because I hate the system that crackers or Europeans created for them. I hate this system. I hate it with a passion. I hate this system. I hate what it has done to us and what it does and what it has done to humanity. I hate what it has done to the environment. I hate all of these things. And therefore, you know, I consistently hope and pray that our people wake up. Not just the elevation of our consciousness, but wake up to us doing something about it, physically doing something about it. To me, the most important thing that we can do is what I read in the Inye Sesem, or what Baba Baruti put in there on warriorhood, develop our own schools, our own curriculum with teachers that love us and have an understanding of who we are and are willing to bring out the best in us and give us the foundation that we need. So now that we can go to, just like my grandson, now he's going to be playing basketball. Hopefully that he will get a scholarship. But damn it, I'm going to make sure his ass knows who he is historically, who he is culturally. And therefore, to me, I hope he goes to, just like that one brother went to Howard. He was a top pick. Von Maker's brother.
You gotta prepare him to do that.
Yeah.
You gotta prepare his mind.
Yes.
To do that.
Yes.
If not, then that's not what he'll do. It's what his value system is. It's what that brother's value system was that allowed him to make that choice to go to a HBCU. I mean, if your value system is I want to expand my African self, I want to be around my people, then that's what you'll do. Now, I mean, if he wants to go to a black school that's on a high basketball level, I think that would probably be Xavier University. But the point of the matter is, it's deeper than him just becoming a ball player. It's him, like, you will make him around it African that hopefully could get an academic scholarship just as much as he could get a basketball scholarship.
This is true.
You know what I mean?
This is true.
So,
and that's what you should strive for. You want to
keep... know, that's what you're
right.
there for.
Right.
I would be disappointed if he wasn't able to get an academic scholarship just as well as a basketball scholarship. Because to be honest with you, there's no reason why he should not be able to with your knowledge and wisdom and resources. You know, I mean, we just got to be real about it. Because you got a whole bunch. I give you a perfect example. This kid from, matter of fact, Atlanta, Javar Creighton, one of the best players in high school, made it to the NBA, got into that BS.
Oh, yeah.
Gilbert Arenas.
Yep.
Went out there
with guns.
And got hooked up with gays.
Yep.
And killed somebody and now his dumbass in jail for the next 20-some years.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, he made it to the pinnacle. Mind you, this was not no stupid cat. He was academically on a high level. Matter of fact, went to Georgia Tech. Now, I'm going to be honest. Some of these colleges are the real deal. And Georgia Tech is the real deal. When it comes down to the STEM, Georgia Tech is up there with the best of the best.
That's true.
For him to be able to do what he's did and to get caught up in that type of situation and now have to do the next 20-some years in a cell, that just goes to show something just ain't click with that Negro. Because he had good parents from what they say. You know what I mean? He had it all. And because of this desire to want to be down and all that other foolishness, I'm keeping it real. The greatest skit on TV was David Chappelle's Keeping It Real. Just watch that Keeping It Real. Puts it all in a nutshell. Now he in a cage being mistreated, mistreated by the devil.
Yeah, when Keeping It Real goes wrong, that's for sure.
Well, the greatest skit, some of the greatest skits you could watch on David Chappelle. Him and the Clayton Bisbee are probably two other best. You know what I mean? But it's unfortunate, oh.
Yeah,
that,
I hear you.
You know, like you say, but my art is where we need to be going to move forward. But for some reason, 90% of our people don't even know what my art is. 90% of our people don't even understand what my art is. They think getting ahead is being closer to
devil. Yeah. Yeah. All right, Jay. Stay with me, man.
My
Hotel brother. Stay with me,
hey,
brother.
Hey, have you heard from your brother, Research Wesley?
No,
I haven't,
man.
I think he may be working during the day, though.
Yeah, because I haven't heard Research Wes in months, man. I gotta give him a call. See how he's doing.
Man, I did hear him
on a weekend on time, you know, with Elliot on Time for an Awakening, but I haven't heard him.
And what about Paul? I haven't heard Paul. That what happened? The English done cut off the phone lines or something? They done made it to where
Brother Paul.
Call in.
I'm hoping to hear Brother Paul soon, man. Maybe.
Maybe
Wednesday. Maybe Wednesday because Brother Franklin Jones is going to be on Wednesday.
Oh, God have mercy. God have mercy.
That's right.
The Boogie Woogie Man is going to be back. Wednesday?
That's right.
Man, that's beautiful. And then you got Brother Akele.
Yeah.
Going to be on Friday, which is going to be a good show. Hopefully, Hopefully the cracker won't sabotage that again this time.
I hope not.
But Lord have mercy, the boogie-woogie man, Franklin Jones, is going to be on Wednesday. Man, I'm going to have to make sure that I listen to the boogie-woogie man.
All right,
let me tell you, so I get his message every day on Facebook, and it's the same message, man. It's like a record being played over and over again.
Well, that's just what some can argue with the repetitivism or the consistency of it.
That's what the Negro needs.
You know,
the Negro needs
positive reinforcement.
So that he could maybe have it sink in at some point in time. I get what he's doing. I definitely understand it. You know what I mean?
I
support it. Because eventually you keep reading it, looking at it. Then one day you'll stop and really read it, and maybe you'll get it. And if you don't, if you keep seeing it, eventually you'll stop reading again, get a little more. And over a course of a period of time, you'll fully be aware of what the boogie-woogie man, Franklin Jones, is saying.
All right,
my
Jay.
Hotel.
Hotel, Jay. I hear you. Franklin Jones, my brother. Ma'at represents the ethical and moral principle that all Kemetic citizens were expected to follow throughout their daily lives. They were expected to act with honor and truth in matters that involve family, community, nation, environment, and God. Ma'at as a principle was formed to meet the complex needs of an emergence of the Kemetic state that embraced diverse people with conflicting interests. So no matter who is there, you follow the precepts of Ma'at. Not your own thing. You didn't do your own. You follow the principles of Ma'at. The development of such rules sought to avert chaos, and it became the basis of Kemetic law. From an early period, the king or pharaoh would subscribe themselves as the lord of Ma'at, who decreed with his mouth the Ma'at he conceived in his heart. The significance of Ma'at developed to the point that it embraced all aspects of existence, including the basic equilibrium of the universe, the relationship, harmony and balance, the relationship between constituent parts, the cycles of the season, the heavenly movements, religious observations, and fair dealings and honesty and truthfulness in societal interactions. The ancient Kemetic people had a deep conviction of an underlying holiness and unity within the universe. Cosmic harmony was achieved by correct public and mutual life. Any disturbance in cosmic harmony could have consequences for the individual as well for the state. Any impetuous king could bring about famine, and blasphemy could bring blindness to an individual. In opposition to the right order expressed in the concept of Ma'at is the concept of Isfet, chaos, lies, and violence. Isfet. In addition, several other principles within ancient Kemet law were essential, including an adherence to tradition as opposed to change, the importance of the rhetorical skill, and the significance of achieving impartiality and righteous action. In the Middle Kingdom, the text, the creators declared, I made every man like his fellow. I made every man like his fellow. Ma'at called the rich to help the less fortunate rather than to exploit them. Echoed in the Tomb of Declarations, I have given bread to the hungry and clothed the naked. And I was a husband to the widow and father to the orphan. To the Kemetic mind, Ma'at bound all things together in an indestructible unity, The universe, the natural world, the state, and the individual were all seen as part of the wider order generated by Ma'at. This is a passage from Ptahhotep of the fifth dynasty. Maat, this represents Maat as it follows. Maat is good and it's worthy. And Maat is good and it's worth lasting. It has not been disturbed since the day of its creation. Whereas he who transgress its ordinances is punished. It lies as a path in front even of him who knows nothing. Wrongdoing has never yet brought its virtue to port. It is true that evil may gain wealth, but the strength of truth in that it lasts. A man can say, I was property of my father. Ma'at. Ptahhotep. And, you know, by us returning to Ma'at with a commitment and the seriousness of it, because by returning to Ma'at is what we do. Turning to Ma'at is not something that is noted. It is what we do. Oh, see, Mama Nabantu texted me some information about the Pan-Africanists and someone following ADOS. ADOS, of course, you remember, is the descendants of the American descendants of slaves. God, I hate that. Damn it, I hate that. Neither from which I understand below is an organization or a movement. ADOS, the descendants of slaves. So here's the debate. Omawali Africa is debating supreme logic versus supreme logic. Logic supreme. And is this today? Is this supposed to be happening today? Yeah, well, you know, to debate about whether, and I've dealt with that on a previous program. Oh, it's tomorrow. Okay, so I couldn't see the date. But it's a shame. 334. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother Oshie. I just loved the conversation between you and the other brother earlier. You couldn't help but just listen, just sit and listen.
Yeah,
thank you for picking my call real quick. Did I understand you to say that Franklin Jones will be on?
Yes. Yeah,
he's going to be on your show, or he's going to have his own show.
No, he'll be on my program.
I see. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah, Franklin Jones will be on. We'll have a couple of things we'll talk about. And, of course, let the audience listen and things that they want to talk about. And then on Friday, Brother Bashir Muhammad Akinyele, who has written columns in Your Black World as well as the Atlanta Black Star and other publications. He's an educator out of Newark, New Jersey, and a member of the ASCAC Association. So he's going to be my guest. We were supposed to have a program about a month or so ago, but we had technical difficulties. So I'm hoping and praying that that doesn't happen again, because I look forward to that conversation. It should be very good.
Well, very good. I'm sorry I was late jumping on, but, you know, things happen.
You know it.
I am tuned in. And if no more, there's one thing that I can do is just sit patiently and wait and until such time as to infuse myself within. So, but thank you so very much for picking my call. And as always, it's a pleasure hearing you.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, Brother Luss, appreciate you, Brother Theodore Luss out of Montgomery, Alabama.
You're welcome, sir.
All right,
thank you.
Peace, brother.
Yeah, peace.
Because we're at that time where we're winding down. And time for us to go. And another program, another day done. But I'm going to talk about my aunt some more, you know, and hopefully many more will join the conversation. And like I said, we have everything we need, brothers and sisters. We do. We have everything we need to make the right transition from the ignorance, from all this stupidity and self-hatred. We have everything we need. The only thing we don't have is our minds, the right mind. Because once we get the right mind, once we release that vice grip that the European has on our minds, it's over. We will move in a new direction. So, brothers and sisters, I appreciate this time. I appreciate the opportunity once again to come to you and to present to you. And I tell you, it is a good opportunity to get information and share information and put it out there. And I don't take this lightly. I'm dedicated. It is my contribution to bringing our people to a state of unity and purpose. Just doing my part. You know, I don't know all the answers. You can hear that by the program. I seek them. I try my best to be the right kind of African man, talking to the right kind of African people, elevating African mindsets, to be African, to do African, to think African, to act African. You know, I always say this program is unapologetically African. And not that just that we wear, you know, dashikis and grand boobahs and galas and so forth, but that we have a mind. Because, you know, you can still have some European clothes and a European name. But I do believe that once your mind is right, everything else falls into place. You may feel like I did way back in the 80s that a name change was necessary for me to be an example. Or you may think that, you know, we have to model that. We have to be the Jegnas or the Jegnocks, particularly to our young people. And like what Jay said about me and the relationship with my grandson, it is my responsibility. Believe me, I take that. Because I want him to do the things that he wants to do. That's what he wants to do, and I want to help him. But more importantly, it's not basketball. It's life. It's the education, the knowledge of self. So we must do it, brothers and sisters. We must return. We must return to Ma'at. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people on the continent of Africa lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed day. A wonderful day. Be safe. Come back to us on Wednesday. Shemhotep. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibibahodie. Bibibahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day, family. I appreciate y'all. You know I do. Peace.